Hey, Pastor Chandler.
Hey, Pastor Tony.
What's going on?
What in the world is going on?
It's a good question. We're coming upon the conclusion of 2015.
It's been a good run.
Yep. We're running, aren't we? I feel like I'm crawling. How about you?
Walking.
Yeah.
I don't know. Metaphorically?
Sure.
Because now I'm sitting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Metaphorically walking.
Right. We did get a dusting of snow, so maybe we're shoveling.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim.
I like that hat. I don't know who you are, but I like that.
So Jim Nelson just walked in the room.
Yeah. And Pastor Tony is sporting a wonderful hat.
Pastor Chandler is also wearing a
I am wearing a hat. But Jim doesn't like my hat.
He might have been talking about your hat.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't specify.
Right. He just kind of looked in the room.
Maybe I like your hat. Like, you guys, collectively.
Yeah, you, plural.
Your hats are nice.
Yeah. I would bet.
Yeah, that's probably what he's talking about. All right. Anyways, hope you had a great and merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about some stuff that's going on in New Life.
In case you missed it, the King is here.
The King.
He's come. He's here.
He's here. He's here. This week, there will be no Immerse on Wednesday night. What is the date?
December, late teen, 30, 20s.
30th.
Oh, it's not even the late
30th. No. No Immerse, December 30th, due to this holiday week. Many students have break, and so we're taking a break from Immerse, and we'll begin Immerse again next week with a worship night, which we'll be hearing from the Gideons.
That's right. Gideon himself, actually.
The.
One of the.
Gideons.
Gideons.
We'll be here to share, and it should be a great time, and we can share testimony about how the Word of God is moving in our lives.
What time is that at, Pastor
That's
Chandler?
At 6:30.
6:30 on Wednesday.
It's going to be a wonderful time to worship and to testify.
Yeah. Not this Wednesday.
Not this Wednesday. We're Not talking the 30th. Wednesday the...
January 6th.
January 6th, yep.
Yeah. Early ones of January.
Mm-hmm. Early ones.
Mid ones.
Also this week on Thursday morning, the 31st, there will be no men's Bible study at the building and no women's Bible study at the building. But on Thursday evening, the 31st, you're welcome to come and celebrate the new year here at the New Life. Well, we're here.
Yeah.
At the New Life building. You're welcome to come celebrate from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. with your brothers and sisters here at New Life. I'm encouraged to bring some friends. There will be, this is a quote, fun and frolic for the youngest to the oldest to enjoy.
Quote, end quote.
End quote. So you're encouraged to bring a snack or an appetizer, something to pass and enjoy. There will be water and soda and coffee available. You can also bring games to play. There will be a G-rated movie for children to view at 7 p.m. Again, that's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Cool. That sounds. I even heard that there might be, ready, wait for it, a photo booth.
A photo booth.
And you can bring in the new year with your beloved family in the photo booth.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Bring a hat.
Bring a hat. To wear in the photo booth.
Right.
Yeah. Or like a nose and glasses with a mustache.
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
Yeah. Grow out your beard if you have one.
Yeah.
And then shave it in the photo booth.
Yeah. For the photo op.
Right.
I always thought it'd be funny if you wore like one of those glasses and nose with the mustache and act like nothing's different.
It's normal.
It's just normal.
Yeah.
And even when people mention it, just like what glasses?
Exactly.
It'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. What hat?
What hat? On January 16th, that's a Saturday morning, we will have our annual business meeting at the building at 10:30 a.m. January 16th at 10:30 a.m., we'll have our annual business meeting. What happens at the annual business meeting?
You said 16th, and that's not so wrong because it's the 6th, 10th, 16th.
Right.
6th, 10th.
16th.
Right. But sorry, what?
What's happening at the meeting?
We're going to vote on your favorite ice cream,
mm-hmm.
Whether you like potatoes. No, I'm kidding.
We could.
You never know what's going to be on that right. ballot. You just don't know.
You have to be here to find out.
Right. One of the things that might be on it is the budget for 2016. We will also be voting on an auditing committee for 2015 budget, and we'll be voting on certain roles that will be happening in the offices at New Life. If you don't know if you're a partner, chances are you're not a partner, but I would encourage you, if you've been here quite a while, there was a transition that took place between the partners that were here under Michael's leadership, and you still are a partner if you were then, but the process has shifted into a covenant. We sign a covenant together with either a pastor or an elder, and take a look at the newsletter on Sunday to learn more about that.
Yeah. It's a very worshipful time at the business meeting, just an opportunity to give over
the year.
We'll
dedicate the year to the
funds
Lord.
And just as an offering to the Lord.
Chandler will be leading worship with three songs. We'll vote on which songs
we'll sing.
Yeah. Why not? He's nodding no.
Yeah, that
I'll narrate for you.
That would open up something we don't want to open up.
Great can of worms.
Every week at church, we'll start having a ballot that you can vote on what songs we're going to sing.
That seems like the way that it worked in the early church. You know, Paul would gather the church together and say, okay, let's everybody vote on what we should believe about God and how we should worship. Let's vote. Actually, democracy is not how the church was run
Mm-mm.
originally. But
we'll talk about that at a later date.
Yeah.
Speaking of songs, though, I thought maybe in the next podcast or next two podcasts we could talk about why do we sing at church.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've been thinking about it.
That's a good thing.
It's kind of my job, so
yeah.
I was thinking about it.
Right. So we've decided to stop singing at church. And if you think that would be a bad idea, then...
Vote.
You got it. You need to call, text your vote in right now.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, short announcements this week because of just not a lot going on. But we're going to cover...
In contrast to extremely short announcements, we're covering a massive subject.
A massive subject as far as the doctrine or the topic we want to talk about today is about the rulership of God as far as sovereignty goes. Like, what do we at New Life believe about God's sovereignty? Is he sovereign? And what does that mean?
Yeah. Well, what is the word sovereign?
It's English.
It is. We said an English word just there.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, Tony. What is sovereign?
Sovereign. It's really a kingly term referring to the king's lordship or his authority in the kingdom, his reign, and whether his reign is full. Is it a full reign or not? And that's
so
the question.
Is it safe to say that God's sovereignty is less about predicting the future and more about his authority or his ability to have rulership over all of his creation?
Yeah, the one is the implication of the other. If he is in control, if he is in charge, if he is fully sovereign, as, spoiler alert, that's what we believe, he is fully sovereign. That's what Scripture teaches very clearly from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God, a.k.a. sovereign ruler, the only one who is in control, all the way to the last amen in Revelation.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? I just got to grab some here.
No problem.
Okay.
All right.
Those are heavy boards back there.
Yeah,
are they?
Heavy.
Jim grabbed some things from the green room here.
Yeah. He does not know that we're recording a podcast.
That's okay, though, because now everybody, you can talk to him about, you know.
Yeah. So back to what we were talking about, because oftentimes when people think of God's sovereignty, the first thought they have is he knows the future. But perhaps we should begin with his rulership.
His reign, his rulership. That's right. Yeah, absolutely. He's either in control or he's not in control. And if he is in control, his will is what sets the future.
Mm-hmm.
From our perspective, anyway. From his perspective, this is an important concept. From his perspective, it is.
Yeah.
Because he's not bound by time like we are.
Right.
Of course, Christ descended into the limits of time.
Right.
While he was with us.
And that's one part of his humanity that sometimes we forget, that he came into time.
Yep.
What are some passages that we could look at to understand God's sovereignty or that confirm his sovereignty?
Yeah. Well, if we were to even begin to look in the Old Testament, and Chandler, you have some passages from the Old Testament. One of the main areas we learn about his sovereignty is from the book of Psalms, and how David, even though he was an earthly king, understood that God was the overarching ruler, reigning sovereign ruler over all the earth. Even early on in the Pentateuch, what can we learn about sovereignty?
Well, I just thought of Exodus. And in Exodus chapter 9, it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. And also in Exodus chapter 10 or 11, verse 10, we read, Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the people of Israel go out of his land. And I was just thinking, from when I thought of sovereignty and God displaying his sovereignty, is that Pharaoh, according to Egypt, was seen as a god.
Mm-hmm.
However, mm-hmm. God had created Pharaoh, the man, and the country, and is within God's creation, and so God displays his rulership over all of creation by controlling Pharaoh, this would-be god or false god's heart.
Yeah. And it's accentuated in the battle between the gods that Egypt recognized as these gods and each plague that was sent upon Egypt, which culminated with what Chandler's talking about, a plague against Pharaoh, the deity of Pharaoh himself, with the death of the future coming Pharaoh, the firstborn son. And he is the sovereign over the sovereign
mm-hmm.
of this earth.
Yeah. And even in that, in their exodus out of Egypt, we see that God uses his sovereignty for his glory. That's why that's the reason.
Yeah.
You know. But
it's hard. It's a tough theological concept for us to get behind when you begin to look at the implications. If he is sovereign, then what are we? And rather than looking at the implications, I think really our response should be purely worship and awe for who and what he is. And that behooves us all the more to cry out to him for grace and mercy, because he is the only one that can bestow on us grace and mercy, if he is the one who is in charge.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, in the conclusion of 1 Timothy, is writing to the believers, and he's telling them to flee the things of the world and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So there's these items for which he is calling the believer to do these things. You must do these things. Fight the good fight. And then he says, I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment, unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he writes this. So he's calling the believer to continue to fight, to keep the commandment, unstained and free, which, verse 15 of chapter 6, which he will display at the proper time, he who is blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. There is only one king, and there's only one Lord, there's only one sovereign, and that is our God. It is so important for us to bend the knee to him. And often we find disputes and quarreling about our role, and I think inherent in those quarrels and discussions, we are neglecting to bend the knee to the only true sovereign King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so instead of quarreling about those things, my prayer is for New Life that we would be a body fully dedicated to allowing God to be God and we being his people, exalting him.
Yeah. There's a lot more that could be said about God's sovereignty.
Yeah.
But we believe he's in control.
Yeah. We, the men's Bible study used to meet at the Joyful Morning, which is a wonderful coffee shop right down the road. And as we met there, there was a gentleman that came in to join our group. And I think it was right in the middle of a study, he leaned over to me and he said, "You believe in God's sovereignty?" And I said, "We do." And I almost said it in joy. And with that statement, he stood up and left the Bible study and thought we were heretical for believing in the sovereignty of God. And I think there's nothing more godly to believe than in the sovereignty of God. And there's no better refuge to take in than the belief and the trust that our God is in control. So,
if you take away his sovereignty, how do you trust in his works and what he has accomplished and what he is accomplishing?
That's right. Amen.
Yeah.
So let's go our separate ways, praying for one another.
Blessings.